this week our focus is living a life shaped by faith and not fear. And this is how God works with me sometimes. Earlier this week I attended the Global Leadership Summit, and one of the stories there was about a company that the founder of a company you may know. Who's heard of Netflix? Yes. One of the founders of Netflix is a gentleman called Reed Hastings. And Reed was interviewed and he makes this comment. He said he learned a lot of stuff what not to do from a former company that he owned before he founded Netflix. And he went on to say that in the former company, it was a software company, he had rules. He had rules by the bucket loads. Everything was defined so that even a dummy should be able to work in that company. And he discovered it wasn't a very pleasant place to work in. And he said the other problem I had, he said only the dumb solutions that don't just rely on him. Well, whilst that story is not exactly what we're talking about today, it does highlight something when it comes to our life shaped by faith and not by fear. Because many people have this view of God that they need to fear God, and that's their primary reason for their relationship with God, is out of fear. And then some people discover that once they don't have to fear God, they go and do whatever they like. Well, today we're going to talk about why both of those are not healthy things about the way we live. To start off, I want to ask you, what motivates you to either do something or not do something? What's your primary motivator for either doing something or not doing something? Why don't you travel, Jimmy, at 120 kilometres down the highway? Why do you stick rigidly to a diet, which I discovered? And I'll be honest, that's what I've done. For a while, for 12 weeks, I was very rigid. And I'll say one of the motivators was there was a carrot at the end of the stick. You see, most of our actions in life are primarily motivated by fear. Either fear of punishment or fear of missing out on a reward. And that's part of what happened in that parable that Jesus told today. If you think about it, most people operate in that fear. And I've seen somebody who transformed from having a life of fear being a Christian to having a life of what we're going to talk about, love. They would say they would come to church because they were worried about what their parents would say. They would worry about what others would say. They would worry about what the pastor would say. When the pastor rang, their immediate reaction is, what have they done wrong? And they lived this life of fear. They said they obeyed whatever the rules were, but only if there were consequences. However, once they discovered that that's not the best way to have a life, a relationship with God, that our life should be based on love, it changed their life. But they didn't become slack. Instead of doing stuff out of fear, they still did stuff. They actually did more stuff, but it was out of love for others. And I've seen this regularly within the church. We've experienced this recently within our own church here, where we have people who have done stuff out of fear, but when they've had the freedom not to do it, instead of doing it out of love, they just do it for themselves. Or they don't do it. You know, during COVID, we had quite a number of rules in place. Right? And we did those because that was about a compliance thing and it was out of fear of making sure we were obeying the compliance. But behind those rules and some of the meetings I went to, it was out of love. And I can be honest with you, even now, when I go to visit aged care facilities, I get very frustrated because I know I have to be there 15 minutes early if I'm going to meet somebody on the time I said I would meet, because I still need to do a RAT test, I still need to wear a mask, and it's out of love, even though it's compliant. And so my attitude changed when I started to see this is about love for the people. Not for everyone, but for a small number of people. So think about your actions. Are your actions in life, your decisions in life, your relationships with others based on fear, what you do or not do based on fear, or are they based on love? You see, the real problem with fear is this. It leads us to focusing just on ourselves. When we are fearful, we focus a lot on ourselves. We worry how others may react. We worry about our reputation. We worry about what might go wrong and the consequences on us. And so we either don't do something to protect ourselves, or we do something fearing if we don't, we will miss out. And so fear becomes this major driving factor, and it's often about ourselves. In one of my congregations in the past, there was quite a major lot of conflict happening. And at one stage, I contributed a bit to that conflict with somebody, so much so that I upset them. And this person who I got along well with in leadership was quite upset with me. And I was a bit upset with them. And for a few days, we had a standoff. We didn't speak to each other. We didn't talk to each other. And we weren't prepared to meet with each other for a while. And all that was driven out of fear, both from myself and from them. Fear of what would happen, fear of what others would think, fear of I might be wrong, fear of what are the consequences. Well, fortunately, because both of us had a love of God, both of us were reading scriptures, both of us desired to resolve this problem in a God-loving way, and we had some help from some others, we met together. And when we went into that meeting, we both had fear, right? And as a result, it started off a little bit tense and defensive. But then we focused on how can we resolve this in a way that shows God's love. So rather than fear being the motivator of how we responded, it was about God's love. And even amongst us, as a congregation here, we have an example of somebody recently who has allowed God's love to be the motivating factor for their decisions rather than fear. And that's Ahmed. Ahmed comes from a country where being a Christian is something to be feared at times. But Ahmed has fallen in love with the love that God has for him and got baptized a few weeks ago and is working his way through what is it going to mean for him to be a Christian, to be a person of love in the world he lives. Have you ever regretted making a decision because you've made it on fear rather than love? Well, Jesus offers us, gives us a better way. A better and more healthy approach to living than living just out of fear. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9 to 11, he says this: For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Now, we'll say sometimes when this discussion happens about faith and fear that some people walk away thinking, oh, that means I should never be fearful, I'm wrong if I'm fearful. And I'm going to talk a bit about fear a bit later, but that's not what we're saying. It's not about saying you should not have fear, but what it's saying about allow faith in God's love to be the motivating factor of what you do and how you do things rather than fear. Jesus is offering and encouraging us to live a life based on a loving relationship with God and others. Knowing that God loves us, knowing that God loves others, becomes the most important thing for us. And not this part of fear that sometimes can dominate our lives. And fear can be quite debilitating, and it also can be quite demoralizing, and it also can destroy relationships. And so instead of living a life of fearing that we are not good enough, which is often the case. And I've had people who I've spoken to and been with who have felt they're not good enough or they have not done enough. God encourages us to think differently. God invites us to live a life knowing we are always loved by Him. The Psalms talk about God has a love for us that goes on forever, that God's love never gives up on us. Now, sometimes it mightn't feel that way because we're going through difficult or rough patches. And I can share with you over the last 3 or 4 weeks, my life has been like a roller coaster of some really good blessings, some lovely things happening, but also some terrible, difficult things to deal with. And fortunately, and this is one of the habits I've got into when I'm facing difficult things, is I tend to take a breath, take a retreat, and don't respond initially how my human nature would like me to respond, because my human nature is often to deal with it with aggression, with fear, with ways of getting a result now. And because fear does produce results, right? It produces short-term results, but it's not good for a relationship. Fortunately, what's happened is God has had grace with me and patience, and so I've been able to allow God's love to permeate of how I respond to that situation. Sometimes through pure, I'll say, God at work stronger than my human nature. Because God invites us to live knowing that life is truly about love, not about this fear that others will put up. You know, in Australia, we've lived in a very safe situation for Christians. But in places like Morocco and other countries, it's dangerous. And yet people, Dimitri tells me that in some places in Indonesia, it's dangerous to go to church, but have a guess what? People still go to church. Right? Because they have this love of God. They're aware of the dangers. They take precautions, but they don't avoid. It's the love of God and the love of others that drives them. You see, our love that God has for us is also a love for others. Now, the consequences of us living this life of love as our primary motivator is partly unpacked in 1 John chapter 4, verses 15 to 18. And we hear this. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. Now, one of the reasons that historically Christians have been encouraged to gather together in worship is to encourage each other in this journey of love, to be reminded that God loves them. Because historically Christianity has not been a dominant factor in community, in society. Other things have. But it encourages people to gather together to remind them that they're loved, but also to encourage each other that they're loved. It goes on to say, God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we'll have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. Have you ever thought that your calling is to be like Jesus in this world? I remember being at a church meeting and some lady was quite angry when it was mentioned, without any Bible reference, that she's called to be like Jesus, because she was half true. We can't be like Jesus in that we can't save everybody. But we can be like Jesus as we reflect his love in the world. You may have heard the saying that sometimes the only Bible that people will meet is you. Well, likewise, sometimes the only Jesus that people will meet is through you. And so we are called to have this love that God has for us, and don't just keep it to ourselves, but to take it wherever we go and to let it affect who we are and how we go about life. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. So the consequences of us living in God's love is when we mess up, because of Jesus, God forgives us. Have you ever felt that you've stuffed up and you may have thought this bad thing's happened in your life and maybe that's God punishing you? That's a human nature, that's an alternative religion nature, that's an Eastern way of religious way of thinking. But the Christian way of thinking is that when you stuff up, you've got Jesus to come to for forgiveness. Bono from U2, who's a Christian, makes this comment. He goes, "Thank goodness I don't believe in karma." And karma is, if I mess up, God will punish me before my messing up. He said, "Thank goodness I don't believe in karma because my life would be stuffed. Thank goodness I believe in Jesus because I have grace and I have a future to look forward to." And so when we mess up, living in this life of love is, first of all, affects us personally. When we mess up, God is always aiming to love us and to love others. And think about the consequences of that. If we're living in this life of love, the people around us, when they mess up, God is always looking to love them and not reject them. Secondly, as we live in this life of love, our main motivation for life should come from God's love. From the love that God has for us, his undeserved love. His love for us and his love through us. Now, this is not saying you won't have fears, but it's responding to those fears in love is the encouragement we have as a Christian. But some of you may be thinking about, what about God's wrath? It's mentioned 187 times in the Bible. What about God's wrath? Well, here's a few verses to ponder on. "But for those who are self-seeking, who reject the truth and follow evil, there'll be wrath and anger." In other words, those who want nothing to do with Jesus, God will have, and it's a future, wrath and anger. And then there's this passage in Romans 12, verse 19, which I think should help us shape how we respond. "Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, 'It is mine to avenge, I will repay,' says the Lord." Now, the broader section of this reading is this encouragement for us to love our enemies, to respond to things people do bad, not in with God's wrath, not with God's judgment, but with God's love, is to show God's love in those situations and allow the wrath of God to be dealt with by God, which will happen at the end times, not now. And then we hear in our 1 Thessalonians passage, we hear this. "And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus who rescues us from the coming wrath." For those of us who follow Jesus, who have our confidence in what Jesus did on the cross and through the empty tomb, we do not have to be worried about God's wrath. Because we have God's forgiveness, we have God's grace, we have God's love, and we have God's help. God's wrath is real. It will come at the end times for those who are not following or trusting in Jesus. But for those who are, there is grace. Then there's this other thing. What about fearing God? Because some of you may recall there are passages in the Bible that talk about fear the Lord. Have fear of God. Well, the first thing it's mentioned about 144 times, fear God. I will say this. It's also mentioned around 365 times, do not be afraid. And can fear be good? Do you think fear can be good? Well, some fear can, but it's not the basis for our relationship with God. So think about a very simple thing of fear. You're a parent at home, and we've lived in manses where they haven't really thought about the occupational health and safety, where they've had the ovens down low, and the oven's on, and a child comes and puts his hand on the oven, and one child says to the other, "Don't touch the oven, you'll get burnt and you'll have to go to hospital." That sort of fear is helpful in some ways. But that's not the basis for our relationship with God, is it? That have a lot of fear. Fearing God, though, does help us. It leads us to listening to God, to wanting to discover what does God have to say, and gaining wisdom. Proverbs talks about fearing God leads us to having wisdom, taking notice of God, taking time out to spend time to notice what God says. The early reformers talked about fear in two ways when it came to God. They talked about two types of fear. There's servile fear, which they talked about. Now, I can't pinpoint who came up with this. I think it's something that's developed throughout Christianity. Melanchthon, who was one of Luther's mates, wrote about this. There's this servile fear, which is people who have servile fear of God is not healthy, because that means they're terrorised of God, and what they're likely to do is flee from God, run away from God, right? Scared that God may do something they don't like. That's not a healthy fear of God. In one of my previous parishes, there's a bloke that I would meet regularly whenever we had a funeral, a baptism, or a wedding. There were three times of the year I met him. And he said, he would talk fondly of me, he'd talk fondly of the church, and he'd talk fondly of God. Except he'd say, I said to him, well, what's stopping you coming back to church? And he said, well, if I come back to church, the roof will fall in, God will be angry with me. And part of it was, as we talked, there was stuff in his life that he knew wasn't quite right, and he was worried that God's first thing is going to be angry. And so he thought, it's best to stay away from God. That sort of fear of God is not healthy. However, there's this other fear, filial fear, encourages people to turn to God, because God is powerful, loving, forgiving, and can be trusted to be caring. So when the Bible talks about fear of God, this is the good part of fearing God. We don't fear God because we're worried about punishment. We fear God because he's powerful and he can care for us. And that's where the idea of awe and respect come from. So what does all this mean in living the faith? Well, maybe we can take an example of a gentleman called Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Dietrich Bonhoeffer could have made a decision based on fear. But he made a decision based on faith. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a good theological academic. He was offered a position in America during the war and could have stayed in America. However, he's a German and decided to go back to Germany to minister to people, to teach people, to help the church be accurate about what the gospel was, because there was a lot of things happening which wasn't good. But also to speak up against the Nazi regime. And why did he do that? Because of his love for God and his love for people, that they would know God. And so I want to leave you with this living the faith situation. In every situation you face, focus on and be fueled by what does it mean for you to rely on God's love? What does it mean for you to allow God's love to mean the main driver how you respond? Now, this doesn't mean you don't deal with your fears, right? Or you kind of just brush your fears away. Sometimes our fears are real, but we don't want our fears to be the main motivator for us doing things. We want God's love, and then respond to those fears with God's love. And then thirdly, what does it mean for you to reflect God's love to others? And that may mean responding in a different way than you may as a person. Or helping people know that God does love them no matter what, that he never gives up loving them. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the love you have for all people, for the grace, the mercy that you show to all people through Jesus. May this be the foundation of our faith. And may fear not be our prime motivator, but may your love be our motivator. Lord, help us as we journey in this life at times which can be challenging and difficult. to know that we are loved, to share that love, and to reflect that love. And Lord, help us to have love like you have, a love which is patient, a love which is kind, a love which thinks and acts for the benefit of others and not just what suits ourselves. And Lord, may many people know your love through us and through many other Christians they meet. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.